Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you doing this week? I'm doing great. It is starting to get real cold over here. The actual cold weather is starting to hit, so people are a little bit annoyed about that. But, you know, a lot has been happening to make up for that. For one thing, I just got the Ender's Game comic book, collected comic book from Marvel Comics. I just received that in the mail the other day. It's really good. If you like Ender's Game, check that comic out. It's very, very true to the original story. I brought it in to show my students, and they were all shocked and amazed that this had been done. So that was really cool. But that is not the big news of the week. And I mentioned this last week. I was approached by the fine folks at Audible.com. They had heard my podcast, and I assume they listened to it to make sure that I don't, you know, swear or commit horrible felonies in my podcast. But they approached me, and they said, hey, we have this thing going on where we help sponsor podcasts. You send people to our website. We give you a little bit of money. And how do you think we'd like to do that together? Sound good? And I said, oh, yeah, it does. Mostly because it was a nice little ego boost. You know, they found me and they said, oh, we want to partner up with you. So that's pretty cool. So I've been exchanging emails back and forth and setting things up and filling out forms and doing things and whatnot. And so this week we will begin with our official partnership with Audible.com. Now, I know what you're saying. Chris, have you sold out? Have you lost your indie cred? Well, sure, why not? But you know what? A little bit of money always helps. It can help pay for hosting the website or buying new equipment or at the very least, buying more books. So think of it that way. And the way this will work is from now on, starting from next week, there will be sort of a little announcement at the very beginning of the podcast, right before the drums. And then after the quote, I will do the spiel and let you know where to go and what you need to do. You work together, I work together, we all win, everybody's happy. We cool? We cool. All right, why don't we start this week? I told you that this week's book would be a book about language and one of my favorite, don't tell me, panelists. I got a correct guess from Marissa, again, in the U.S. Marissa's kicking all your butts, guys. You know, you need to step up your game. But Marissa guessed it correctly. It is Alphabet Juice by Roy Blunt Jr. Now, when I was last home for Christmas, my mother pretty much shoved this book into my hands and said, you have to read this. And far be it for me to ignore my mother's advice. Well, except possibly that little tidbit about being trapped in a Vogon airlock with a man from Beetlejuice and about to die of asphyxiation in deep space. I kind of spaced out on that one. Probably wasn't important. Anyway, Mom was right. Like nearly everyone else in my family, I am a lover of language. I read voraciously, as you may have guessed. I have dabbled in writing, of course, songs, poems, I'm doing this story blog now. And I make a living teaching non-speakers, non-English speakers, the joy of being English speakers. You know, I grew up in a really literate household with a mother who used to teach me Latin roots whenever I asked, oh, what does this mean? My words are the way I express my thoughts and the way that I understand the world. And as such, they are precious to me. They are to be cherished and admired, used with elegance and style, and not wasted on fripperies and tacky indulgences. Roy Blunt Jr. is a kindred spirit indeed. He's a humorist, he's the author of about 24 books, and a regular panelist on Don't Tell Me, which if you're not listening to that, you really need to, because it's very funny. He talks with a nice, slow, southern drawl, and unlike some people, never seems to hurry. This is the kind of person who savors his language and treasures his words. He's not only interested in the meanings of words, or the sounds of the words, but the very feel of the words. And if you're the kind of person who never thought about how words feel when you say them, the book might do you some good. All right, think of a word. Any word. How about doldrums? It's a great word. It's a very sonic-y word, to use the term that Blunt coins in his book, to mean a word whose sound doesn't imitate the concept it represents, like boom or poof, but rather evokes the essence of the word. Now, so say that word out loud. Doldrums. Doldrums. I mean, if you were asked to come up with a word that describes a seemingly endless, unchanging environment, you could do worse than this one. It's got those flat vowels, heavy and pendulous, that practically sit in the bottom of your mouth, defying your tongue's attempt to shift them, and then it ends in just a flat hum that becomes a thin and lifeless hiss. Doldrums. It's clear that Blunt takes great pleasure in the sounds of words and the feelings of words as the phonemes slide and crash and bump together, but he's also interested in the etymology of words. He looks into the origins of some of the most innocuous words in the language, and some of the most useful ones, and looks at how they descend from the same ancient Proto-Indo-European roots. Take the Proto-Indo-European, or Pi, root, Pag, which has given us such a diverse crop of words like pagan, compact, pole, pace, and pageant. All of this from a little word that meant roughly to fasten. The words that we speak have taken a very long and wild journey to get into our minds and our mouths. Some of them were ported directly over from Latin, others took a slightly longer route. But every word you speak has great history behind it. And finally, of course, there is the meaning. I mean, without meaning, words are just sounds and aggregations of letters. One of the big questions that Blunt hits over and over and over again is whether words mean something for a reason, or if they've just been arbitrarily assigned to ideas and things. There are those who hold to that idea, that a word like go is no better or worse suited to its job than, say, iku or jit or aller, which I probably pronounced wrong, Japanese, Czech, and French, respectively. There is something to that, I suppose. I mean, if one sound were really perfectly suited to a concept, why would other languages bother to use so many other variations? Or, you know, exist. You would think eventually the speakers of the other languages would hear go and think, that's it! That's the word! And if that were the case, it probably would have put me out of a job. So there probably is some element of arbitrariness in language, but Blunt isn't convinced by that idea. He says there are so many words, like doldrums or go, which fit their ideas so very, very well. I mean, how could such an appropriate set of sounds have just been arbitrarily given to these ideas? Words like scribble and itch, rest and pool, words whose sound and meaning match so very well, how could they be just arbitrary? The most likely answer, of course, is that language defines how you understand the world. As an English speaker, a native English speaker, Blunt has inextricably connected these words and ideas in his head. And to suggest that, say, the word berceuse, which again I'm probably mispronouncing, is perfectly suited to describe a soft song sung to children to get them to sleep, would be asking an English speaker to put aside a whole lot of the associations that he or she has made about the word lullaby. Yeah, this isn't an academic book, though, so don't worry about that. Blunt has made a career out of entertaining with his words, and he doesn't put that aside just because he's doing language analysis. He brings up common words, unusual words, thought-provoking and laugh-inducing topics, all arranged, of course, alphabetically. You can jump forwards and backwards through the book, following the cross-references, and still enjoy it to its fullest, and in fact, Blunt recommends that you do so. Language is our way of making the world make sense, no matter what language that is. For those of us who are native English speakers, we look at the world through a complex and sometimes baffling language, which is hard to learn and hard to teach, and sometimes frustrating to deal with, and occasionally incapable of doing what we need it to do. But it's part of our cultural heritage, it's part of our cultural DNA, if you will, and it deserves appreciation. So take a gander at this book, read it, savor it, enjoy it, and then look at your language afresh. You'll be glad that you did. Let me give you a quote from the book. There's a lot of good quotes. Mr. Blunt is a very funny man. This is the one I picked because it seems like such a wonderfully striking image. English is an outrageous tangle of those derivations and other multifarious linguistic influences from Yiddish to Shoshone, which has grown up around a gnarly core of chewy, clangorous yawps derived from ancestors who painted themselves blue to frighten their enemies. So that is Roy Blunt Jr., Alphabet Juice. Very nice book that I highly recommend. And with that, let me say, for you, my faithful listeners of the Labyrinth Library podcast who've stuck with me through thick and thin, through storm and high tide, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their services, which are fine indeed. If you go there, you can certainly start your free trial with the audiobook of Alphabet Juice, read by the author, so you know you'll have a good time. You can sit back and relax and listen to Roy tell you about the language. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/lablib. Again, that's audibletrial.com/lablib for your free audiobook. Support the podcast and get yourself some great books to listen to. All right? Go do that. Have fun. So that is it. Ooh, yeah, that got a little tingle. It was really neat. All right, that is it for today's review. Next week, we are going to do a book of short stories. It's a short book of short stories by Wesley Crusher. That should be an easy hint, so you can tell me what it is. Join in on Facebook or the blog or Twitter, wherever you like. Tell me what you think, and I will talk to you all again next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.